This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
It is Long Shots, golf betting podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin. Yes, the band is back together. Hey, we're all here. For a tournament that we're all kind of like, anybody can win this thing. But it's okay. It's all right. We'll talk it through. We'll let you guys know how everything played out in the models. And pretty interesting for me, some of the names that made it to the top, but not the strongest of fields. And so we'll try to get you some bets into your account this week. Wes, you and I, a quickie last week, and I'm glad we did because, I mean, look, that the tournament last week, impossible to handicap. You see these teams, guys, we say this like all the time whenever we're talking about these easy courses and just certain formats. Every one of these golfers is the best golfer you've ever seen in your whole life. And so when you have two different guys that can just fire at pins and they're pro golfers, like there were teams of two guys I'd never even heard of. And they're like, 63, 61, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden I'm like, what the hell, who the hell are these people? And it's like, it's just, oh, pro golfers are awesome. And it, like, you know, whenever two guys can just fire at pins, that ends up happening. And so whatever, it's a fun, you know, you turn it on, you put it on one of your ancillary TVs and like all of that. It's never on the primary TV and it's fine. I it's a break for us, mental reset. It's a break for those guys. They can go have some fun. I will not say which team, but I can tell you guys this, that one of my buddies volunteered for the tournament and was walking with one of the groups as they were discussing getting in at 2:30 in the morning that morning because they were down on Bourbon Street and partying up in New Orleans or whatever. So, again, just stuff for us to take into context whenever that type of tournament rolls around.
You will not disclose the names, though, here on the podcast?
No.
What, do we have some partnership with the PGA Tour I'm unaware of or something? Come on, these are the things that people need to know. All right.
You know, I don't want to get him in trouble or whatever.
It wasn't Maury McIlroy.
It wasn't them. It wasn't them. One I think I would just say because it'd be like, oh, that's funny.
Because we would assume. Absolutely. But yes, actually, small winner for me last week because some placements got home. Of course, I have the winner in a placement market and don't bet it on the outright, that being Andrew Novak and Ben Griffin, who both get their first PGA Tour wins. It's kind of been coming, I think, for Andrew Novak.
I was seeing him.
Yeah, I was very surprised because he had a chance to end it in regulation at the RBC Heritage, did not make the putt, lost to Justin Thomas in the playoff, even though Thomas was, you know, should have won the thing anyway, and he eventually did, but Novak had a chance, and he finally gets the first win. Ben Griffin had been kind of close over the last couple of years, so Ben Griffin makes an absolute bomb on 17, I think from almost 40 feet out, and that clinches it, and they win by a shot over the Højgaard. So congratulations to them. They get everything but the Masters invitation, but Andrew Novak, look, they might start considering him for potentially a Ryder Cup. I don't know if that's so far fetched because the bottom, nobody is really great at the bottom for the U.S. team right now. So he'd be certainly an outsider or a long shot. But if you're going on form,
I haven't even really thought about it. Wes, what's the Ryder Cup team looking like right now, you think?
Well, yeah, I think you have a top six with Scotty and Cantlay and Xander and Morikawa and assuming DeChambeau and one other one. I don't know why it's slipping my mind right now, but it seems like you have a top six, but you got to take 12. And who the hell knows? You got a lot of guys, even a couple of guys I mentioned that are kind of out of form right now. So we shall see. Keegan Bradley's got a little bit of time.
I want to discuss real quick, Matt, because you know my hatred for Jordan Spieth camera time, and what you're going to get a lot of this week. You're going to get a lot of that this week because he is second on the odds board for the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Andrew Novak, I see this is the small differences between a Novak and a Spieth, where Spieth comes off more complaining to me and whiny, and Andrew Novak's just like the everyman golfer where like he hits a bad shot and he gets furious about it for like 1 minute and then moves on. Like it's okay to get furious about bad shots. I understand. It all happens to everybody who plays golf. Just handle it the right way.
Kelly Bidlin coming back in, dropping some knowledge after your closest thing you got to golf last week was you probably played golf. Did you play golf down in Turks and Caicos?
Hell no. And I didn't bet this tournament. So, Wes, what's your streak? What's your streak? Three in a row? Hey, man, if I hit one of these this week, I think I can tie Wes. Three in a row this year.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's true. Because, like, if you take the week off,
I didn't make a single bet. Yes.
The streak is still intact.
That's right. Correct.
Is that where we're going with?
I think that's fair, right? I skipped the whole tournament.
I think that's fair. I'll give you that. I think that's fair. I will give you the streak being intact. Yes.
Don't worry, Wes. If I hit one this week, it will be pretty shocking. I'm already going to admit that.
Lots of good stuff, obviously, going on here on the podcast, getting some winners home here lately. And so we'll see what we can do with this one here. So, Wes, you know, we kind of alluded to it at the top here. We're heading to a very, very gettable course in which we are assuming the score is going to be very, very low this week. Dudes, multiple guys, probably 18, 19, 20 and better under par this week. And so the odds will reflect some weird stuff, but let's talk a little bit about the course.
Yeah, it is the TPC Craig Ranch in McKinney, Texas, about 32 miles outside of Dallas. It is a par 71, 7569, by the way, third longest that they've seen on tour so far this year. They did add length because they added some new tee boxes. Also changed a couple different things with the agronomy. The rough is now ryegrass instead of Bermuda, and they did grow it a little bit longer. It's about 3.25 now instead of 2.5. The fairways are also now ryegrass instead of the zoysia grass, which you see at TPC Southwind or at Eastlake for the FedEx St. Jude and the Tour Championship, respectively. But even with all those changes, I was like, okay, how much is it really going to change? This is a gettable course, like you said. Greens are relatively large, about 6,700 square feet, average speed. They're smooth bent grass, so they're pretty darn easy to putt on. This really turns into a putting contest. The only defense, I think, for this course is wind, because it's pretty open, not really totally tree-lined. But it's been no worse than the seventh easiest course since they moved that thing from Trinity Forest, which was kind of Lynxian down there in Dallas, over here to TPC Craig Ranch. So, yeah, you're right, Matt. The winning scores of this since they moved here, K.H. Lee was 25 under par, I believe, when he won. And he won, by the way, back-to-back years. He was 26 under the next year. Jason Day, 23 under. Taylor Pendrith, 23 under. So you're going to have to be 20 under, I think, to have a chance to win this thing on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a course that we know guys are just going to be able to just fire here. There's weather, by the way, that is going through on tomorrow. Yeah. They're in the Dallas area. And so with that, the greens are going to be even more receptive. And so, these dudes are going to be throwing darts at these things left and right. And I imagine these scores are going to be incredibly, incredibly low. Kelly, yeah, what did you? Yeah, you got the weather thing there.
Yeah, let's hit this real quick because I do think it is something to be aware of tomorrow. But I like you were kind of getting at, Matt. It's just I think right now for what we're looking at, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're talking more. Okay, wind and rain coming in Wednesday night. Like, this is,
yeah.
And then it looking pretty dry on Thursday and not too brutal wind. So I just think we're talking about this softening up the course even more, make this way more scoreable on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I expect these guys to be just full-on pin hunting on Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I think it's going to be just, like, go at it all day long. So, again, if you want to take some first-round leader flyers, if a guy just gets hot, like almost anybody in this field could go super low.
I will already tell you right now, my betting card is four outrights, the same four guys covered with top fives, and all four guys with first round leader bets.
Dude. Yeah.
Because you just, I'm waiting to put the first round leader bets in, as I always do Wednesday. I want the closest thing to the weather forecast that mm-hmm. I can get. But assuming this doesn't really change much, Thursday it will be all four of those guys' first round leader bets, too.
Love it. All right. So, Kelly, how did you go about the modeling this week? Because I think there isn't one way to do it. You know, I know a lot of times our models end up kind of spitting out the same guys because we value the same things. I think this one is at least a little bit different the way that this tournament is laid out. So what did you go? What route did you take?
Yeah, kind of interesting because I think, you know, really heavy ball striking stuff. So off the tee, driving distance. I am interested to see with this rough grown out a little bit this year, if that becomes problematic, this is often played as a course that's really easy on approach, whether in the fairway or out of the rough. We only have, you know, what, 4 years of data to go off of. That's not a ton. So, you know, take everything a little bit more with a grain of salt this week. But I think 4 years is enough of a sample size that we get a pretty good idea still of what's important here. But that definitely caught my eye, that change from a year ago. You're going from about 2.5 inches to 3.25 inch of rough. You're going away from the Bermuda, which we often talk about getting some of those funky, funky flyers out of the Bermuda rough. But I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm like, hey, over 3 inches, you got my attention all of a sudden for rough around the green and on the off the fairway. So, look, I put a little bit more emphasis on some driving accuracy this week than I have in this tournament in years past, but still looking for bombers, looking for length off the tee or quality long iron play, right? We've seen basically 50% of your approach shots coming from 175-plus yards. So those long proximity bucks that we talk about, 175, 200-plus, I think are going to be really important. I really emphasize that in approach this week. And then it feels like actually a little while since we've done one of these tournaments, so it's nice to circle back around to. But the scoring approach stats, right? The opportunities gains. I need guys that are not only going to find greens, but they're going to put it close enough to give themselves a birdie opportunity. I want birdies or better graded out pretty highly and rated out pretty highly in my model. So I'm looking for that stuff. I'm looking for a little bit of strokes gained putting because I don't think you want someone with a complete dead putter, even though I bet one or two of those guys. Just hoping for a spike week. But it was at least something I modeled to see where guys showed up. Three putt avoidance, same sort of thinking there. You just can't be losing strokes on the greens here. These greens are not all that difficult. So that was really mainly it, just really heavy emphasis on the approach play off the tee for the most part. And look, you're going to have some guys that are going to have to scramble and play some around the green stuff here, but it's not too tough. It's really not tough. So I really didn't factor that much in at all.
Wes, what did you do there for the stats that matter to you?
Yeah, I used approach. I think you kind of have to. Pendrift, by the way, Taylor Pendrift, who's the defending champion of this event, little bit of an outlier. He was just 38th in the field in his victory last year. But the other three winners, K.H. Lee second, K.H. Lee eighth, Day third. So you got to be pretty good on your irons because it's pretty easy to gain off the tee here, which is why in terms of off the tee, I went with a lot of driving distance here. It's pretty easy for strokes gained off the tee. Now, we'll see how the rough plays, but usually you don't get hurt if you spray it all over the place from an accuracy standpoint. Yeah. But I use distance. I think birdie or better is a good thing to use this week because you're going to have to make a lot of them going forward. From the approach, probably about 3 out of every 8 approach shots are 200 or more. And Kelly mentioned including the 175 as well. I wouldn't dissuade anybody necessarily from doing that. So I did proximity there. I did strokes gained putting bent grass because these are smooth bent grass greens. And you're often going to get a putting contest here at the end of the day with this event with such low scoring. So I did strokes gained total, easy scoring conditions, and also did long courses, which a lot of the different sites that we use that we've talked about in the past on the program, over 7,400 yards. This is about 7,600 with that 150 yards of added length. By the way, Lanny Watkins, the former CBS broadcaster and who won this event many, many moons ago, before a South Korean conglomerate sponsored it, long way before that, Lanny Watkins consulted on this, who lives in Dallas, still does Champions Tour, I believe, on the Golf Channel in the booth, or did. And this is originally a Tom Weisskopf design, so you could maybe look a little bit at a couple other the Weisskopf designs, TPC Scottsdale, where they played the Black Desert in Utah, is also a Weisskopf design. So if you're looking kind of for some correlated courses, and there's a couple others as well. A lot of the Birdie Fest places, TPC Deer Run where the John Deere is, TPC Twin Cities, Detroit, Mexico, Vedanta Vallarta, where you got really wide, big fairways. Also use some strokes gained par 5. The two of the par fives were part of the course lengthening. One is now about 630, 635 yards, I think, to be exact. So you got to score on those if you're going to keep up with the low scoring pace. So I did some strokes gained par 5, and that was it. Didn't go too knee deep in the weeds this week because there's a little bit of randomness, like when we talk about with the scoring. There's a lot of guys that can score, and I think when you have an event like this, It's not like when you're on a harder course where I think it weeds out some of the guys. I think it brings in a lot more guys that can win this thing.
Yeah, my model pretty friggin' simple this week. Like 20% on approach, 15 on distance, 5% on carry distance, another 15% on par 5 birdie or better, just overall birdie or better, and then tee to green. And that's over the last 24 rounds, like who's kind of maybe coming in on a little bit of a heater, and that's the model for me.
Yeah, because I actually factored in some more tee to green too, which I rarely do when we're dealing with a more complicated course, but this is really like, all right, who's the best to get it to the green, right?
Yeah, and you know, should be able to putt pretty easily here on this one, pretty flat greens, so not super super tricky and all that. So, and that's just how my model like played out this week. I just went super simple. Go in, who's kind of riding some hot stuff, maybe they can carry this heater over, go nuclear on a course where anybody can get at it, and maybe we can come out with some sort of winner. So if we go to the field, Matt, this week, guys, like, you know, Scottie Scheffler, best your findings 3-1 at MGM. He's 280, 250, you know, at other places out there. Jordan Spieth, then it goes all the way to Spieth, right? Spieth is 18 pretty much across the board out there in the industry. Then it goes to Benny On. Best you're going to find is about a 25 out there on him. Sung Jae is about the same, 22, 25-ish range. Then you get to Pendrith, who's sitting 28 to 30, as is Sam Burns, as is Siwoo. And then you kind of get up into the 40-1 or longer when you get to the Ben Griffins and stuff of the world. And so, you know, Kelly, one thing I'm glad you pointed out before we came on air that we want to talk about, I know people are going to look at this and go, this is a weak-ass field. Scottie Scheffler, why the hell wouldn't I play him at 3-1 at MGM when I'm getting 3-1? And the answer is because what makes Scottie different is the course that, you know, most of these guys are going to struggle with, he makes look easy. Well, you know, a course like this, literally, and I'm not saying this for hyperbole, guy, like 50% of this field can shoot is capable of shooting 20 under over four rounds on a course like this. And so, you know, there's a whole bunch of, like, Scottie might go 19 under, which is amazing, but then one of these other dudes goes 22 under, he's not going to win the tournament. Like, you just can't do it in at a course like this.
Yeah, I think it's something. I saw a shop had a plus 320 on him. I got close, but I think it's just, you know, you're kind of playing the math game on this. And yeah, you're talking about, I mean, we've got a full field event. It's 156 guys. We often simplify things we say on shows or on this podcast. Matt says it best. It's really hard to pick one guy to win a freaking golf tournament when there's 156 players he's going up, or 155 other guys he's going up against. But then when it's this type of tournament, I just think those odds are tough to buy into. And you want to pick Scheffler at a better time, but not to say that he is not by far the class player in this field and could easily win it. But you're talking about odds that are implying, you know, a 25% ish win probability from him. And I think with 155 other guys in the field, it's just tough to pull the trigger on.
And if you're gonna play this type of price, I think on Scottie, you want to do it on like more of a difficult classical golf course, like Bay Hill, where he's won in the past, like Muirfield Village at the Memorial. He tends to do better in those events. Like, if you look at the profile of all the tournaments he's won, none of them are these birdie fest type of events. I mean, maybe you could call the Travelers that, but the Travelers, by the way, has been a signature event in the past, so always a really good field. So he has not won any of these, like, resort type of events. Not that this is a resort course, but you know what I'm saying, where you're getting, you know, 25 under is the winner in this thing.
You know, and I'll kind of say this finally, like, we want to hit it outright every week if at all possible. If I miss out on a 3-1, so be it, right? I mean, like, of course we want to hit an outright every single week on this show, but if I miss out on a 3-1, I'm not crying myself to sleep. You know, it's like, okay, Scottie at 3-1 went out and lit a course on fire. Shocker. You know, okay, it is what it is, but I'm not, you know, if he tees it up, if they played this tournament every weekend for a month, like, he's not going to win. You know, I mean, like, just given the way that these guys play on these type of calls, like, he might go 0-4, you know?
Totally,
like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's a good chance he goes 0-4, even if he gets to play it every week for a month. And so I just, like, you know, you're just not getting me home at 280, 3-1, stuff like that on one of these where we're going to look up and there's going to be someone that you've never heard of that is inside the top five in this tournament. Like, it's going to happen for sure.
Yeah, it could be someone I've never heard of, yes, that we've never heard of. Yeah, and we do a golf podcast.
Yeah, it's yes, that's true.
I might have a couple names people have never heard of. Yeah. Spoiler alert, perhaps.
Let me go down the list here. If Cristobal Del Solar wins this thing, yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, let's who is at the, let me see, who is at the very bottom of my model? That'll be fun.
Or Vince Covello.
Gabe Reynolds is at the very bottom of my
model. Oh, sure, Gabe Reynolds, yeah.
Gabe Reynolds is
my
at
cousin,
the very bottom.
Yes.
Yes.
He will be if he wins.
Bobby Massa. All right, yeah. Yeah, oh, there's plenty of names on here.
This is actually really interesting about Gabe Reynolds. He must have qualified or something because his last tournament was in 2023. At least as far as like the
Rest versus Russ, guys.
So he must have been a qualifier.
It's all about being selective, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely about being selective. By the way, Kelly mentioned Bobby Massa, who did play college golf down there kind of near the area at UT Arlington. He is actually a personal trainer, but he made the final last year of the U.S. Mid-Amateur, which is a USGA event. So, yeah, he's actually a personal trainer and actually works with some golfers on, like, their clubhead speed and whatnot. So he did qualify. He's a Dallas native, did qualify on Monday to get in this event.
All right, that's kind of a badass story then. Yeah. Go Bobby Massa.
Yes.
That's actually a really good story. So, all right, Wes, so since you've got a few more than we have, let's go ahead and see what the model spit out for you.
Yeah, and nobody really at the top for me. I didn't want to go with Spieth, who obviously is born and raised in Dallas and certainly would want to win this event. I didn't go with Sungjae either. Sungjae, curiously enough, went over to Korea for an event that he has won each of the last 2 years on the Korean Tour and missed the cut. So I found that a little odd. So I was able to go, I guess, a little bit down the board. Matt, you've already mentioned him, and I know that you like to play this guy because he's got good win equity, not within the last year, but 5 wins, I think, over like 3 seasons. And, you know, I'm starting to see a little life out of Sam Burns, who I bet at 30-1. He was runner up to KH Lee in 2021 here. Strokes gained tee to green. He led the field and got that runner up. And we always joke that he's Bermuda Burns, right? Because he's such a good putter on Bermuda. Well, you know what? He putts really well on bent grass, too. Actually, 7th over the last 36 rounds, 4th overall this season on the PGA Tour for putting. 13th last time out at the RBC, 5th for strokes gained off the tee. We know Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler, they're like best friends on the PGA Tour. Sam Burns, I think, he's got the long game off the tee, and, you know, he can spray it a little bit, but you can kind of get away with that a little bit on this course. So Sam Burns at 30-1, and then Stefan Jaeger, who I did hit last year in Houston. I think he's down. He might be below 40 now. I'll call it 40. I think I bet at 42. I actually missed the 50. He's made 10 of 12 cuts this season, T3 at the Sony, T6 in Mexico, T11 when he defended his Houston Open title a few weeks ago, and 2 good finishes here in the last 2 appearances, 11th and 20th here at Craig Ranch. He was also the runner-up last fall in Utah at the Black Desert Championship, which is at that Black Desert Resort, which is another par 71 Tom Weisskopf design, so maybe course correlation there for Jaeger. And then I think I finally figured out how to pronounce this guy's name, because I think I botched it in an appearance. Rio Hisatsune.
Yeah.
At 70-1. 13th on debut here last year. 18th or better in 5 of his last 8 events. Top 5 at the Valero. Top 5 at the Valspar. Top 10 in Mexico. 7th this week for strokes gained total in the field. I think he's like somewhere in the high 20s ranked on the PGA Tour, but of the players playing this week, 7th ranked for strokes gained total. So Rio Hisatsune, 70-1. Kevin Yu at 80-1, who's another guy, hits it very well off the tee. 8 for strokes gained off the tee, 21st on strokes gained approach this season on the overall tour. The man from Taiwan, 4 top 20s, by the way, in his last 8 starts. won last fall, and that's why he's qualified for all the majors, because he got his first win last fall at the Sanderson Farms in that playoff over Bo Hostler down there in Mississippi. And CC Jackson is kind of a correlated course here with TPC Craig Grant. So, Kevin, you 80-1. I missed the number on this guy, but I'm still going to grab at Isaiah Celinda at 80-1. Tour rookie who's fifth for strokes gained off the tee, third in Mexico, T11 in Houston. Guy that's a birdie maker. He's way up there on the birdie or better stuff and also the off the tee stuff. Just got to make some putts, you know, and that's been a little questionable. So you got to hope for the spike putting week, I think, with a lot of these guys, especially if you're playing bombs. And then I'm going back to our guy, Alejandro Tosti, 90-1. Look at the form this guy's got. Fifth in Houston, 12th at the Valero Texas Open, T2 at the Corrales Punakana. I lamented having him on the card because he was never right there to win, but perhaps he would have been in a playoff if he didn't miss a 10-inch putt. So that was very, very discouraging for Tosti. Fourth in this field, by the way, for driving distance is Tosti. And then Cam Davis, 100-1. He's either played really poorly or really well this season. Six missed cuts. Four finishes of 18th or better in 2025. Two-time winner of the Rocket Mortgage Classic at the Detroit Golf Club, which is kind of a correlated course, I think, to this week. Really good birdie maker. By the way, first in birdie or better percentage this week, and I think he could take to this big, wide-open course. And then one guy that's also been playing very well, Sami Valimaki, the man from Finland, who I got at 110-1. I think these were like last night, this morning, when I bet those as we record on Tuesday. He's made seven straight cuts on the PGA Tour this season. Last three starts have been his best, though. Fourth in Houston, T12 at the Valero, T18 at the RBC Heritage. Two-time winner on the DP World Tour. Remember, he was runner-up to Jake Knapp at Vedanta Vallarta last year at the Mexico Open, so I think he's comfortable on these long and wide courses. Third in this week's field for strokes gained approach. So to summarize, Sam Burns, 30. Stefan Jaeger, 42. Rio Hisatsune, 70. Kevin Yu, 80. Isaiah Celinda, 80. Alejandro Tosti, 90. Cam Davis, 100. And Sami Valimaki, 110.
God bless our listeners here, Kelly, if we don't share any of that. Because I only share two with Wes, so I've got five others. So, I mean, they're going to... people are going to have to spray the board this week, it seems like.
We are doing a coverall, like, yeah, bingo,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, Matt, because I bet four and three of them Wes just mentioned. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, then.
And I feel like I saw a smirk come across your face with Toasty, so just fire the app now if
you
end
Toasty?
Up. You Toasty? Of course I Toasted. This is such a Toasty course. Come on, man. That's my boy. I ain't missing out on a Toasty win. Come on. I mean, we just need him to hit a damn putt. It's the... Yeah. I'll just roll right into my card because I think it's two guys off the top. Look, I've bet Kevin Yu a bunch this year. I'm going back to him for this term. I just think odds. Oh, there we go. Love it. Love it. Where the odds line up with him, I still feel like it's a little long. I mean, look, the putting stats are just disgusting with him. Like, it's really tough to look at. But things he's doing ball striking-wise just been so good. You're talking – I mean, last 20 rounds, he's top 20 rates out top 20 off the tee and everything on approach. He's 22nd birdie or better, third in par 5 score, fourth on opportunities gained. He's great in those long approach buckets. So really everything you're looking for in the ball striking, you just need one of those spike putting weeks. So at what I get him at, 85-1? Yeah, I like the bet. We've seen him be consistent with the ball striking all year long, really. He had the miscut at the Zurich. Whatever, team event. Miscut at the Masters, okay, your first major or your first Masters, I'll forgive it. Other than that, it was T18 Houston, T12 Valspar. He's been great all season. I've bet him a lot in placement markets. I will take an outright and cover it with a top five on him.
You was first in one of my models.
No
ahead
way.
Of Scotty
no
Scheffler.
No bullshit, come
yes,
on, man.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was.
I mean, he was second in one of mine behind Scheffler. Yeah. He outrated
and then he was
Scheffler
fifth,
in one?
And then he was fifth in one of the other ones.
Okay, he was yeah. Number two. He was number two in one of mine. I think Tosti is, he might be a different personality, but game-wise compares a lot to what we see out of you, right? Like, he's going to be long off the tee, might be spraying it all over the place, but we're hoping that doesn't matter as much here. And, you know, approach numbers have been great. He's third on approach over the last 20 rounds in this field. You just need him to get there first in opportunities game. So he's given him those chances to set up birdie putts. You just need him to go make them this week. The recent results are good and really big tee to green numbers in the three finishes he's had. I know one of those was Corrales Punta Cana. It's a alternate field event. But then T12 Valero, T5 at Houston. The results have been there. You just got to get the putter, man. And
this
then
is basically an alternate field event. Anyway.
Right, correct. Yeah, yes, I mean, yes. Yeah. Thank you, man. I mean, yeah. Good point. Great point. It's take away Scottie Scheffler, and that's basically what you're dealing with. And then the other one that I share with Wes is Valimaki. I never heard of this guy before. Matt, really, you bet him last year when he finished second, right, to Knapp in that tournament.
Yeah.
You had a bomb on him. I remember sweating that out.
So horrible. That was just the worst sweat.
But Wes, like you said, man, he's been great here recently. And it's, look, okay, slight pivot from the first two guys I talked about, you and Toasty, right? It's the, okay, this guy's been great on approach, and he's a great putter. The driver's what's going to be tested a little bit more this week, and can he keep it straight and hit it as long as he can off the tee here, put himself in good position. I think he's a good look this week at 100-1. I think he should be shorter odds than that. And then Matt.
Yeah.
This one's for you, because I know you've bet him a couple times, and I don't know how many texts I've sent you on a Thursday where I'm like, we should just be auto-betting this guy in the first-round leader markets every single week. Ryan Gerard! Yeah. I'm going down with Ryan Gerard. Let's go. Last 20 rounds, 12th on approach. He's kind of like mid on everything here, but there's not many glaring weaknesses. 12th on approach, he's a solid putter, 24th on strokes gained putting in this field, 18th tee to green overall, 20th on par 5 scoring. He's not the longest guy off the tee, but the rest of the game kind of makes up for it, and the results just continue. I mean, I'm going to take away Zurich, even though he finished T12 there, but T27 at the Heritage, second at Valero, 9th at Houston. Iron play's been a little shaky the last couple of events. But, man, this guy is just – it feels like every Thursday I'm staring at him on the first page of the leaderboard. So I'm going to take a stab with Gerard. I got him at 63-1. He's actually the shortest guy on my card this week. Again, we'll cover with the top five, and we'll definitely be playing that guy at a first-round leader market.
Yeah, I am. Don't know if I'm going to do any alternate placement markets outside of just this typical stuff that I do with the guys that I bet the outrights with.
I'm throwing darts this week, man. Yeah, open hit.
I don't think I'm going to play anyone just strictly in a placement market. Just kind of is what it is. And mainly because of all of the guys that I have on my card, because the shortest guy I have is 66-1. So, I mean, you know, like.
And if you hit that top five, guess what? It's a great top five to hit.
So a double pod play with Kevin Yu and Alejandro Toasty for us. The first guy on my card was Taylor Moore, 66-1. Taylor Moore,
I got
rated
really
out
close
as
to playing him.
Sixth highest in one of my models. He is third in one of the other ones. If you kind of go in all of the stuff across the board that we're looking for. Seventh off the tee in this field last 24 round. Birdie or better's 19th. He's 14th in driving distance. You go in 16th in these strokes gained on easy courses. So give him one of these easy courses. He can fire at the pins, all that type of stuff. And so really would have probably been higher. It's just his long irons that I did factor in a tad, like kind of that 200 plus on the approach is 62nd in the field. So he's about midway, you know, through with all of that. But outside of that, pretty much good on everything else that I was looking for. So Taylor Moore, the first one to make the card for me. Rico Hoey is on the card for me. I couldn't ignore that he was inside the top five in every version of every model that I ran. So Rico Hoey, second to Scottie Scheffler in one of the models. He is just a dude that kind of green across the board, really, for all the stuff that I put in. Like I said, basically pretty basic and simple model this week for me. But strokes gained off the tee, actually, over the last 24 rounds, Rico Hoey's first in this field. So a guy, if we think you can go out and gain some stuff off the tee, then I will take that for sure. Easy course guy, so easy course that we're about to play this week. So do like that with Rico Hoey. And then we're getting into the three bombs outside of the other two guys that I told you that that we played. Of course, you and Toasty are on the card there. Hayden Springer, 150-1. Hayden Springer, weirdly enough, is like green across the board on the model. Fifth in this field in strokes gained on easy courses. Like, some of these dudes are just better on these, you know, these easy courses And Hayden Springer kind of fits that bill here with this one. Birdie or better percentage on easy courses is actually seventh in the field as well. So a dude that he's a good golfer. He's on the pro tour. I mean, don't get me wrong, but he's just better on easier courses. And so I do like him here in this one. And then Danny Walker at 220 to one. Danny Walker in one of the models was actually third overall for me, which really? I thought was very weird. But then you go in and you kind of start to look, and same type of deal, right? Where you go in, it's like, what kind of courses does he play well? Well, he plays on easy. He plays much better on easy courses. He plays much better on some of these like courses where you can go in and just kind of spray it all over the place and still be okay and all that type of stuff. So Danny Walker at 220 to one. And then the last one, just because he did show up in the top 10 of my model, and I see him all the time, so it'd be cool if he won, and I could just go up and be like, hey, whatever. I played Joseph Bramlett, and for no other reason other than the fact that he was inside the top 10 of a couple of different models for me, and I see him a lot at my course, and so I'm just going to be able to go up when he wins this thing and be like, hey, dude, I cashed a 220 to 1 on you. I'll go inside, and I'll buy you a cocktail for that. You know, that's for no other reason than I'm going to buy him a cocktail for whenever he wins this thing at 220 to 1.
You know what? I'm betting there's a lot of pro golfers that would just nicely brush you off for that one. I bet you Joey Brams would take you up on that.
Dude, he, true story, he played like six holes with me one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You did tell me about this. That's
yeah, great. He rolled up and was like, hey, are you by yourself? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, do you care? I'm only going to play like five or six holes. And I'm like, no, let's do it. Of course, he goes to the tips and just like blasts it 150 yards past me every single time, you know, but like, it's fine. All it did was just crush my ego even further than it already is. But, you know, whatever. No big deal.
What is he? But he just wanted someone to chat with? Because like, I feel like that's the like, hey, man, like, can I play through? And like, I'm solo.
No, because he was like, there was someone in front of me and then there was people behind him. Oh. So he just wanted to like skirt in real quick. He just wanted to. And so I was by myself. And so he didn't want to go play with like the threesome in front of me or the, you know, the people that, whatever. So it was just an easy, I'll hop on with the single, you know.
Yeah. How do those drives work out? That must have been comical.
Yeah, it sounded like a goddamn gunshot going off every time he hit the ball. Yeah, I mean, it did. It sounded like the ball was going to explode every time he hit it.
If you ever go to any one of these PGA Tour events, because I've gone to a few out here in Vegas at TPC Summerlin, at the Summit Club. I remember, I think it was Johnny Vegas who hits it big off the tee. And we weren't looking at the tee because we were kind of walking in between groups and in between holes. And I heard that it did sound like a bomb was going off.
Yeah.
It literally did with how hard he hit it off the tee. I did. I had to look around. Yeah. I was like, what the hell was that? And it was just him hitting a tee shot probably about 20 yards behind me. And, oh, man. It can't get a little scary because those are loud, but that's just how the equipment and how hard these guys hit it.
And to be fair, I did weight driving distance pretty heavily. I did weight carry distance and all things like that. And like, he's obviously elite in those. So that's, he's going to climb the board, you know, whenever it comes to stuff like that as well. So again, card to summarize for me, Taylor Moore, Rico Hoey, Hayden Springer, Joseph Bramlett, Danny Walker. And of course we all three share Kevin Yu and Alejandro Toasty, a double pod play. We've never had a double pod play. This is a little scary, guys. This is new territory for us. We've never had a double pod play, so we're gonna have to figure this out.
So let's get them both in the playoff, where eventually it goes like seven or eight holes because neither of them can make a putt in the playoff.
We don't often show what our specific models spat out because I think it can mislead people with kind of what betting odds are. You've got to connect all of that to find true value. But Matt, look at all the names you just spat out and what my last 20 round model is. That is every, like, your whole card is in that top 10.
Yeah. That's. You know, I wasn't a slave to the model this week, but I did like what it spat out whenever then I went in and kind of dug into the dudes a little bit further. And I'm like, okay, model work for this week. You
know, I got close on Taylor Moore. Hayden Springer, I don't know why. Hayden Springer's one of those guys I just can't get right at all. So I didn't really have any interest in him. Enrico's becoming.
Enrico Palazzo?
No. Old Rico Hoey is really becoming, he's quickly becoming Doug Gim of like 2 years ago for us, where it's just like anything that's ball striking, he's up there in the models. And like, I have to like I basically have to talk myself out of betting him every time. Cause if we were just, like you said, slaves to our models, that's what you would be getting.
I will say this, guys. Yes, this tournament, whatever, a little wonky. You know, only yeah, not that big of a deal. But like, you know, now, then we get into the Truist. $20 million purse, elevated event, you know, so we've got like, you know, we're getting
that one's a signature event next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is in Philadelphia, by the way, because, of course, the PGA is at Quail Hollow. So at least we get a new course, but we don't get previous course form for next week.
Oh, wait, no, I shouldn't complain. I forgot. I've complained about signature events after majors. This is what I wanted. The signature event leading into the major. So you get the kind of undercard.
And then you get you also get this at the Philadelphia Cricket Club. So, yeah, yeah, you know, there you go, Kelly. This one's going to be Philadelphia.
Should be cricket. Easy to play golf in a cricket field. I've only seen it, but it's round, so, you know.
And there'll be an alt event as well over in Myrtle Beach, and then, of course, into the PGA Championship. And so, you know, again, I know it's kind of feels like a couple of weeks off for us here and all this, but, you know, we're not going to fire super hard at every single tournament every single week, especially if we don't think there's a ton of an edge. And so we'll be back at the Philadelphia Cricket Club, though, guys. Yeah. with some bets we think with it that are, you know, positive EV,
because it really starts to pick up with that event. Yeah. And then the PGA, and then you have the Charles Schwab, a historically big event down there in Fort Worth. Then you have the Memorial, then you have the RBC in Canada, and then the U.S. Open this year.
We are getting that rocking and rolling, and then follow that up with the Travelers, which is elevated this year as well. So yeah, this is a really, really good stretch here. So yeah, like we said, it's okay, a little bit of downtime here. We have the team event, we got this event, it's fine. Like, it's no big deal.
It's a long ass season. Yeah. There is nothing wrong with taking a week or two off if you're betting golf every single week, especially if it's the Zurich Classic like I did last week. I would gladly take those team events off. The
Kelly, to yeah, be fair, you took everything off. You went down to Turks and Caicos.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I took everything off.
Yeah, you took everything.
I was fired on NBA from down there. I actually had a great NBA week. I got to watch Justin Thomas win while I was in Turks and Caicos, and then hit some NBA. It was actually a great betting week. Apparently, I had to get out of Vegas to win bets. That's how it is, apparently.
Guys, everything we do, absolutely free. So if you're just finding this podcast, do appreciate it. If you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, if you hit the rating button, we'd like the 5 stars, 4 stars will do, 3 stars, go to hell. We don't want you. Like, it's fine. You didn't like us enough to give us the 4 or 5. It's fine. Don't do that.
Quick announcement real quick before we get out of here. We will, if you guys hopefully enjoyed it. And if you didn't, tough, because we're doing it again for the next remaining majors. We will be in studio at Circa recording a 1-hour show that you will hear several times across the network on VSiN that week leading up to the first tee-offs for the majors. So, yes, we'll be back for the PGA Championship in a couple weeks there. So kind of normal as business how we do the podcast next week, and then in studio for all three of us the following week.
Found us over on YouTube. That also absolutely free. Hit that subscribe button. Let us know in the comment section how you were going to go about this tournament. We're going a little bit different this week. We're spraying the board, see if we can't hit a bomb, or at least get the bomb in the playoff or something like that, and then we can try and make some money this week. It'll be
let's just extend the pod now, Matt. There was like 30 seconds left. Wes had to turn on the basketball game volume. Yeah, he was like, all right, I'm done. Turn this Knicks game up.
Yeah, it's awful. All right. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your Byron Nelson bets.